Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Dave LaFabre. And Dave, FLW Championship is pretty fun, man. $500,000 here potentially.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. I mean, it's so cool to be fishing for $500,000 in this sport. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't even believe I'm here. I opened the door a little bit today, and I'm just so thankful that I'm fishing tomorrow.
Well, you know, you look at what's going on and you feel about what the FLW Championship does. You know, it raises the bar for the angler. You know, it wasn't too long ago that people didn't even think about $500,000 that would ever be won for a whole tournament trail, let alone one tournament. You know, it's got to be something that now the outside world has got to have to really look at it.
Yeah, I think they're beginning to. And, you know, like Irwin said, we had a little meeting, you know, before the tournament started. And Irwin's vision is over $1 million someday. And I believe that to be true. And I don't think it's going to take that long. You know, look how far it's come in just a couple years. So I think it's just going to keep getting bigger and better.
You know, Dave, wasn't too long ago you were beating on the top of some skins and playing the drums and doing those kind of things. You know, it's got to be kind of neat for you to think, hey, I had the one good career. I was playing something. I loved playing the drums, doing all that kind of stuff. But now you got a fantastic career. Your rookie year, although I know you're not really a rookie at this game anyway, this has got to be just absolutely phenomenal for you.
Yeah, the drumming thing, that was a great time in my life, too. I mean, it was a dream come true to get in a road band and play full time and make a living doing it, a fairly good one. And, you know, the only problem with that was I had to depend on five people, you know, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. And in the fishing thing, you got nobody to go back on but yourself. You know, when you screw up, it's your own fault. It's not somebody else's. And I'm really happy to be fishing instead of drumming. I miss it, you know, someday. And if I win this $500,000, you can bet your butt I'm going to buy me a new drum set. But because I gave my old one to my brother. So I'll probably be buying one, hopefully.
Well, it's great because you and I've talked before, you know, at other occasions, and you talked about giving that drum set to your brother, and you win $500,000. I think you can get a couple sets if you want.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I know what I'm getting. I'll be getting a Yamaha drum set. I mean, they don't just make the best outboard, but they make the best drums too, so I'll be buying one of them for sure.
Well, let's talk about the fall pattern. You know, river fishing, of course, is something that you're doing here, and, you know, people all across the country fish these type of rivers. Now, this one happens to be tidal, but you also got river systems, you know, with the same type of structure and stuff, and without letting too much out of the bag, you know, when you're getting ready to go fish the rest of this event. Are you fishing shallow? What are you doing?
Well, you know, I like to fish shallow, and that's what I wish I was doing. And when I see these guys weighing in, you know, these limits, flipping jigs and stuff like that, it's kind of making me envious, because that's what I looked for in practice, and I just couldn't find it. I did a lot of work looking for brush piles and fishing off the bank a little bit further, and I'm making a long run, and I'm fishing about 6 to 7 foot of water on brush piles that people have probably planted over the years. And, you know, that's been my problem. These flood tides have come in, which is it's something that doesn't happen very often. And I didn't really plan on that happening. And it's making my brush piles a little too deep for my crankbaits. And believe it or not, I didn't bring crankbaits deep enough to even touch them. So it's a very scary thing. You know, this little creek that I'm fishing is about as wide as my boat, maybe two boats. And when I, in practice, I was in that area for 8 days, there were hard banks everywhere, you know, and these fish were up against the banks. Well, these last 2 days, it's all flooded, and that little creek looks like a lake now, and them fish are scattered in the grass, and I'm just unable to catch them until, you know, that tide gets down. And when it does, it's going to be phenomenal. I think I can catch 15 pounds out of this place and with no problem if it'll just go down. So that's why I'm real happy to make it, because it's getting better and better every day.
Well, as a northern angler, you know, that crankbait, you talk about that as kind of a northern bait. A lot of guys throw it where you're from. And when you look at now, you're going to have to come down here, dial in a little bit, and really concentrate on these brush piles you're talking about. You know, if you don't have that one that just actually dives to that depth, you're going to have to look for those other brush piles that maybe aren't quite as deep, right?
Well, you know what I'm doing? I found a couple little places that, in case it did get high, I could fish, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm squeaking out just enough fish to make it here, you know. But I haven't caught one fish in my good area yet, so they're still there. And you know, like I said, it's just got to go down and just a little bit more, a foot more, and I'll be in good shape. You know, I'm throwing a lure. Jensen's making a new bait called a TD10, and it gets down about right at that depth that I need, like 6-7 feet on 10-pound test, and you know, once I can get down there, it's gonna be a good time, I think.
Well, you know, you talk about that 10-pound test. You know, you're fishing brush. There's got to be some concern every once in a while when you do hook that fish, making sure that you get him in the boat as well, I would think.
Yeah, you know, I found that out the hard way yesterday. I lost one yesterday. I broke it off. But you know, they have a lot of barnacles in the water here, which is something I'm not used to, being from where, you know, from Erie, Pennsylvania, and. At first I didn't realize what was happening. I'd flip a jig in there with 20-pound test and it just break like a pike bit you off. And I know we don't got pike here, but so those barnacles make it tough. But you know, if it goes down the right way, you know, that's just part of cranking. You know, you're gonna lose some fish from jumping off, and you know, and I'm gonna lose some in the barnacles, and that's just the way it's gotta be, because I can't really go up any higher in pound test.
Well, how clear is the water? And, you know, as a river system, you know, you're going into the ocean here, actually, and there's got to be something, the water clarity. How is that playing out?
It's really not an issue. I've caught them when it's been pretty clear in there, and I've caught them when it's muddy. You can't even see. I'm just switching colors. I'm using, you know, if it's muddy, on certain tides, when it's pulling out really hard, it usually gets a little muddier, and I'm throwing like a blue and chartreuse color when it does that. And then every other time, I'm throwing either a craw pattern or a shad pattern, you know, that's the problem, is, you know, I can't upgrade my line because I can't get bit on any other crankbait. This little thing is, I mean, it's an awesome bait. I've been using it all year. It's got a little subtle rattle to it, and it's a little bait, but it gets down, you know, and so I'm counting on that bait. So, you know, I might have to go down to, I'm definitely going to rig it up a little bit lighter. I'll have one with 8-pound test on it tomorrow just to be ready for it, and we'll see what happens.
Well, Dave, I guess another question is, you're talking about crankbaiting, and, you know, for the folks at home that are listening to this, when you talk about that, what kind of cast distances are you taking? Long casts? Are they short casts? Are you making short, you know, trying to make the best accurate cast you can? What's going on with that?
You know, I've been trying to adjust for that. I had been pitching it right in front of the boat. I'm getting on these brush piles, and I've got my boat position lined up where I'm about 30 feet away from the brush pile, and I'll just make repeated casts to it. And I've been like just, you know, pitching it. But the last 2 days I've been making a very long cast to try to get it down to that depth where they're at. And, you know, when the tide is as low as it gets the last 2 days, I've only had a half hour yesterday to fish those brush piles when I could touch them, and an hour today. So it's getting, you know, it's getting a little better. But yeah, I've had to go longer on my cast just to get down there.
Well, I'm sure you're waiting for about a 50 mile an hour wind out of the west to blow that water out into the ocean. But you know, that may not happen. Tomorrow's forecast is a little bit of rain and a potential of that anyway. So cloudy sky conditions, is that going to help you?
No, that's going to hurt me too. I mean, they're obviously going to probably not tuck into those brush piles very good. They're going to be roaming around and everything, but you know, I'm ready for whatever it has to offer me, the weather, and you know, we'll just see what happens. You know, any change could be good. I just don't know right now.
Well, as you fish this thing, it really doesn't matter, because you got to go out and put the green guys in the boat. And I know that's something that, you know, when you think about this and you dream about this as a living, and you get ready to see what it's going to happen and where you're going to go and how your career is going to develop, how much of a springboard, though, you know, you're going out there tomorrow and you're just going to have that open mind and go out there and go after them. It's got to be a springboard you're thinking about the whole time you're fishing, don't you?
Yeah, it's. I really want to capitalize so bad, Terry. I mean, you know, I just came from the Bassmasters Classic, and also in my rookie year, and you know, I was just so devastated. I made the cut there, and I ended up 22nd, which is not bad, but in reality for my first year. But I was so devastated after that tournament. When I got here, I just, you know, it's just, I can't even put it into words how bad I want to win this. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come in second. I got to get to the last day, and. So devastated after that tournament. When I got here, I just, you know, it's just, I can't even put it into words how bad I want to win this. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come in second. I got to get to the last day, and you know, I don't want to feel like I felt at the Classic ever again.
I wish you all the best, and I think you're going to have a great finish here, and I'm pulling for you, my friend.
Okay, thanks, Terry. I want to say too, I really appreciate Bass Fan and all the things that are going on. You know, you guys are helping the sport progress as much as FLW, and I really appreciate everything you guys do, you and everybody there.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.